Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to this special episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by the late night poets at lpoetry.com. The group posts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics to ensure that there is something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we have anthologies available on Amazon, which boast a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at the games that you can play to heighten the senses. Crawl inside our lovers' minds and make their imagination run wild. Or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. Now, if you're ready, step into my dungeon. I, Mistress Frost, have a very special night lined up. Tonight, we're going to look at the idea of recapturing control. We had posted a song by Paola Mudd called Control, and I should have had the lyrics already. I can Google this real quick. Control song lyrics. And the fun of them is that it says, you know, that's not the right one. I need Paola Mudd. I'm looking at a different Control song. The Control song by Puddle of Mud says, I need to feel you, you need to feel me. I can't control you, you're not the one for me. I can't control you, you can't control me. I need to feel you, so why is there even? I love the way you rake my skin, so on and so forth. It's that fun that we can sometimes play, the dynamic that we have with our lovers, the sometimes the moments where they're kind of guiding us and others where we're really taking that lead. And so we got to play with that dynamic for tonight's episode in the contest. And the dungeon can always need a little bit more control. So tonight, I have Pam Ray, who's going to be helping me out and keeping me some company. How are you tonight, Pam?
Oh, I am doing great. Good to be here. And good to hear you, Victoria. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm getting over a little. I've had a bug for over 2 weeks now. It's not COVID. It's not strep. It's not a cold. It's not the flu, but it's left me a little hoarse. So if my voice is a little raspier than usual, it's not because I'm trying. It's because I'm having to mute myself every once in a while to get a cough out. But life is good. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be reading this poetry with everyone. I had to take a moment of hiatus, and so I'm glad to be back, even if it is only to a limited amount right now. So excited to be here and glad to have you.
Yes, it looks like a great lineup of poetry for tonight. A great prompt that you chose. So very cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I know that we have the infamous Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, who is hanging out with us on the board. And so for those that are listening in, you can always join us in our group on allpoetry.com, Late Night Poets on allpoetry.com, and there is a board there that you are able to interact with us live during the show. So if anyone is listening in and would like to join, they can access us there. But Frank is with us. And so I am going to have his poem first. And Frank is unable to call in. However, he was able to provide us a SoundCloud. And so we are going to be playing that SoundCloud, which is always the next best thing if you are not able or are not comfortable with calling in. So with that being said, this is Naughty Things You Do by Poetic Picasso.
Your passion consumes me like an irresistible flame. You make me implore for more when I taste your lips. Your kisses are drenched in the French drops of wet dew. When our tongues tease our taste buds with our sensuality, I release my hidden desires for your naked eroticism. Under the mystic moonlight, with your exotic body exposed, your flesh is a seductive odyssey. I embark with a titillating urge to discover the intensity of your boundless, lustful rapture. I succumb as a serf to your enchanting whims of control, arousing me with whispering words of your wicked delight, satisfying my dark desires of taboos like a sumptuous feast. You take me on a fantastic voyage of endless fervor. My deep grasp is your purring infatuation, your sable eyes are the sultry spell of the midnight, my fingers induce your rotten is pleasure, and I erupt like a volcanic climax, a burning lava. Las travesuras que me haces de noche evoca la bestia de mi antojo, afrodisíaco, un tentador juego, exploración sexual, pareces jugar con tu atracción física. The naughty things you do to me at night evokes a beast, a my aphrodisiac craven, a tempting game of sexual exploration. You seem to play with your physical attraction. Ole, ole. In the poem.
A stunning, stunning read and presentation and write by Frank. I do believe that Frank always stands up to his name. The descriptions that he uses, the feels, the performance of it is vivid and is very much like a written Picasso. So stunning, stunning performance there, Frank. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think of this?
Well, as always, he has wonderful imagery and metaphors. I like how his rites are deeply sensual and seductive, and yet, you know, they don't cross the line into vulgar. Illusion and metaphor is something he does beautifully. I thought this one worked really well for the idea of the topic of the show and the contest of control. And I like in this rite that you can tell both people strongly desire each other. Some of the lines that really stood out for me was, I release my hidden desires for your naked eroticism. I like the idea of having a lover that you're so intimate with that things that you would keep hidden from other people, you trust them enough to show them. And I also like, I succumb as a serf to your enchanting whims of control, arousing me with whispering words of your wicked delight. But to me, the control in this rite comes in both the words spoken and the movements of the body, of the bodies. My deep thrust is your infatuation, your sable eyes are the sultry spell of a midnight. You really feel the mutual attraction, the mutual desire for one another. And I do like the idea of both the whispered words and the movements of the bodies being what controls the lover. So beautifully written and very well done.
And that was a fantastic comment. I agree. Frank really does have a way of capturing these moments without that vulgarity. And I agree, even that control is seen in the way that they're interacting. This, to me, really reminded me of perhaps a midnight awakening. You know, perhaps one of the lovers wakes up and perhaps there's a butt wiggle involved. But there's the willingness and the openness in here to partake aphrodisiac cravings, as he says. And so there's that temptation game. Perhaps it was a tease throughout the day, awakening of the night. And in those moments, there's even a loss of control. And I appreciate that, because sometimes giving into that raw carnality, giving into that moment passionately is a beautiful, needed thing. And I feel that here. It's not just animalistic in the sense of the carnality of it, but it's that need to be close, the need for satisfaction, the need to have that tease done. It's regaining that control in the sense of after all of this, there's finally that moment, the the peak of it all, the pinnacle of it all, where satisfaction is found. And you see that satisfaction on both sides. And that's another thing I really love about Frank is this is a subject that can become very cliche. There's not a lot of areas where we get to talk about the kink community, but in general, sex tends to be one of those things where it's like, how many different ways can you pluck a duck, so to speak? And you start to see repetition. You start to see similar threads in writing. And one of the things that I really love about Frank is that this is a new concept, not necessarily in the global scheme, but I've never seen him write about perhaps the Midnight Awakening, where that teasing finally comes to a climax in more ways than one. He keeps his stories and his moments fresh, so it doesn't get dull, it doesn't get boring. We may have moments at night, we may have moments where you're feeding your lover grapes, there may be moments in a shower, but he keeps it fresh and he shows how each instance, each moment is different. And so I love that he shared this piece with us, because to me this does show the teasing where the significant other may have that control leading up to that moment where there's that satisfaction on both ends, the regaining of the control to the power of the thrust of the man, the union of the two coming together, allowing that beast to come out. And as much as that may be losing control, in many ways, it's also gaining it. And so I thought this was a really stunning piece because there is depth and depth to it. It's dynamic, it's fresh, but it also leaves you kind of tingly and tantalized by the moment that he's created. So stunning, stunning write by Frank, as always. All right, and up next, we're going to have A Dove in the Shadows by Poetic Creation. And Pam, could you give this one a read for us?
I would be happy to. A Dove in the Shadows by Poetic Creation. Born on the dawn of flames, all those evil things you always say, beaten down, I'll rise again. His light touches to warm my face. Darkness, I had my fill, my share, and I had my taste. Sweet baby of mine, oh, how you took me away. You broke those chains, released me from all of that pain. Fortune Hall of Fame, you broke me, broke my name. Wildcat freak of nature, how was I blind to this danger? My world upside down, curse a mad matter rearranger. Black hole, soul of darkness, I turned away, walked away from the brutal level of contrast. Blue skies, contacts, and eyes above. God forbid thoughts of love. What I hold, darkness takes. I'm warm, but I've lost my faith. Yes, I can look up to see the flying dove. End poem.
This is such a fantastic write by Poetic Creations. And one of the things that I always have to remind myself with him is that there's often more than meets the eye here. So to me, there's a deep metaphor here, and I think he picked the perfect picture, the dove versus the raven, that yin and yang that's here, the light and the dark of life, and the fear that the darkness overcomes the light. And yet what I think is fantastic about this piece is that there is an honesty of vulnerability in it. There's that the fear that what you finally gained is going to be lost, because that is what has always happened. And yet there are these moments where you can see this dove that has come in, this potentially this person, because he says, darkness, I had my fill, my share, and I had my taste. Sweet baby of mine, oh, how you took me away. So to me, that makes me think that he has almost considered himself a raven, clothed in darkness, misunderstood, never really looked at, perhaps even villainized. And yet here comes this this beautiful creature of grace, delicacy, purity, just godly, heavenly nature. And even though he starts off calling it a dove, there's also wildcat, freak of nature. How was I blind to this danger? My world upside down. Curse a mad hatter, rearranger. It shows that just as much as they come in with beauty and grace, there's always that other side to it. And so it shows how dynamic a relationship can be and how a lover can be. You can have those people who come in with this idea of a saving grace. You can have these people who are, you know, put together and look appropriate in the streets, but you get them in the bed and they're perhaps a little bit crazier than you intended. Good, bad, crazier. There's the feeling of being sucked into them and that loss of control. And yet in all of this, as he is coming away from this moment, there's still that idea of, but there's still beauty, there's still grace. There's still that opportunity for control. And so I think that this is really rather dynamic. I feel like there's an even deeper metaphor here that I'd want more time to kind of sit on and ruminate in, because there is that warmth and that coldness and that contrast. But, you know, on a fresh read on a show, I don't always get to do that. So I think this is really beautiful and deep and dynamic and complex talking between a raven and a dove. But it's really quite fantastically done. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. PC does tend to write very layered pieces, very thought-provoking. I like what you had to say about the idea that, you know, sometimes you meet somebody on the street and they seem, you know, like everything's fine. And then, you know, all of a sudden you just realize there's this different side to them that you weren't expecting. I really liked this all the way through, but what stood out to me is the darkness. I had my fill, my share, and I had my taste, sweet baby of mine. Oh, how you took me away. You broke those chains, released me from all of that pain. I like that idea of feeling like you have found freedom from all the hurt and pain that you've gone through. But then the idea that things changed, things took a twist, what it seems like, for the worse. And, you know, I think for me, and there is an honesty to this, a raw honesty. And, you know, the idea of looking for that healthy love, looking for that healthy relationship. But sometimes we tend to be attracted to the same types of people over and over again. I love the darkness in this and the God forbid thoughts of love. You know, when we talk about raw honesty, you know, I think that's one of the, I think when you've gone through difficult relationships or choices over and over again, and you start dreaming that maybe, just maybe, love is a possibility, the line, God forbid thoughts of love, really represents that idea well. Wildcat, freak of nature, how was I blind to this danger? Now, you know, I will say that given the tone of the rest of the write, that does come across as quite dark and almost like, as you said, getting, basically I'm paraphrasing you, but getting slapped upside the head with the idea of, you know, that the person wasn't who you expected. I think finding someone who's a wildcat and a bit of a freak of nature maybe isn't always bad, you know. Sometimes it might be a bit of fun to get some scratching and biting in bed. I just think this is, you know, and a wonderful write by PC, and I really appreciate him being inspired. So, and that is a beautiful picture that he attached to his write, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And I loved a lot of what you said too, because there is that idea of, and actually, I mean, I've on other shows and you know, maybe I've got a fresh audience now because I took like 4 months off. But I have an ex-husband and I met him. I was young, you know, I think I was 18, 19. I was 19 when I met him. And I was in a really, really dark place in my life. I actually almost failed out of my first year of college because I had a plethora of people who were high risk for suicide. And I believed that I could make a difference. And so I spent many, many nights up, people who were on the edge or friends of friends who were, had taken pills. Or I distinctly remember there was one girl who like literally just like cut up her arm and she couldn't get the bleeding to stop. It wasn't the way to effectively commit suicide. Warning, trigger warning. But it was still that fear, that moment of regret. And so when I met my now ex-husband, it was kind of like this moment of peace. It was a calm in a storm. And he took me away from a lot of the toxic people that I was surrounded by. But because of how that relationship progressed, because of our characteristics and our personalities and just, so, you know, young kids, the way that it works, he ended up having poor affairs on me and became just as toxic as those people that he cut out of my life. And so your comment kind of reminded me of that. While this is not entirely a full-blown sensual poem, as we usually see on this, it does have that vulnerability, and yet it does open up the opportunity for control to be there, to break away from the norm. My ex-husband broke a lot of those chains that had bound me in darkness. And while he himself left scars and pain, I've also not returned to that same place that I was. And so I thought that I agree with you. I think this is a really fantastic poem in that idea of breaking away from the bad that you've known. Finding that opportunity to have hope, finding that opportunity to say, okay, this lesson didn't work out, but there could be love because there once was a place where that wasn't an option. So I thought your observations on that were just spot on, Pam. Thank you for that. All right. And up next, we're going to have a SoundCloud by Nightfall Vixen called Shapeshifter. I will get that posted in the room and we'll play that now.
Hand in my heart again, plus like a butterfly.
Oh, my God.
show.
A fantastic performance by Nightfall Vixen. He'd actually asked me if I could also reread it afterwards, and so I want to take the time to do that now. Unfortunately, I'm not quite up to singing today with my cold that I'm getting over, but I wanted to read this. So this is Shapeshifter by Nightfall Vixen. Hand in my heart again, clutched like a butterfly, rain down the sandy road of shit-faced water candy. She's drunk again, puking on reality. I am alone. She walks down the lonely road of wrath and self-medication, but I don't believe she has a soul. Only the thunder can carry her goals with a pitch of the lightning dead by the nightlight. Leaves me tattered in Exodia, far beyond the memory. There's a void. I was used as a toy. Matchbox litters far out of dance halls. She's got my head stuck in a light fall. But I awoke separate realities, ally the boldness. Evil shouted her scorn fast and accurate. Dead inside prison leaves her on the couch bed. Just as I married, the heart was consumed. Cash out, crash out inside the TV set. All that is left is the son that she denied me. The wedding was my day, but he wasn't my child. End poem. And Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Well, it definitely has a strong emotional impact. I've been seeing more and more of Nightfall Vixen's writings and SoundClouds for our shows in LMP, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate him taking time to share his poetry with us. It's so difficult. I noticed today in where he says, you can look at this from two perspectives, the child was taken or the child was never mine. And I think either way, is sad, though, it's the idea that the child was never his. There's at least that idea that he was offering, or either him or, the character. I believe this to be a genuine real right, but I could be wrong because some people just write stories so well that you truly believe they are real. But, the idea of offering a father figure to a child, I think, is a beautiful idea. As far as the topic of control, this definitely hits on that with in a beautiful and dark way. Even the title itself, Shapeshifter, the idea of using the mythological creature, the shapeshifters that can change shape at will. Like, it doesn't just happen at certain times. It happens, when they want it to. I like that idea as a metaphor for somebody who, they seem so nice, they seem so sweet, and instantly, without reason, they change. I really like, she walks down the lonely road of wrath and self-medicine, and I don't believe she has a soul. Only the thunder can carry her goals with a pitch of lightning dead by the nightlight. But those are powerful lines. Like, you can honestly, there are two people in this, right? There's the person writing, and there's the person they are writing about, and you can tell have been hurt. It feels like the idea of somebody, like the person being written about, the woman, feels like somebody who has been hurt over and over again, and to the point where she's, it feels like someone almost losing their humanity, losing their ability to be empathetic with other people, and needing that control. Another right that really touches on the idea of vulnerability, and with this case, especially with the ending, I feel like it touches on the idea of sacrifice, and it brings to light to me the question, how much sacrifice do we have to make, so beautifully written and very well done.
That is a really fantastic comment. And definitely, we're on a topic of control. And while usually this show is based on sensuality and that kinkier sensuality, there's an honesty and a vulnerability, especially in this piece, and even in the piece that we read by Poetic Creation. I love what you said about how there's kind of that feeling of lycanthropy, the loss of humanity, the wearing away. There's different lores and different thoughts on lycanthropy, but one of them, the most well known, is that every moonlight, the werewolves will turn into wolves. They don't have that control. They don't have the ability to say, I don't want to turn. They just have to kind of give in to that nature. There's another thought for the lycanthropes or lycanthropes that can shapeshift, that if they spend too much time in their animal form, they will reach a point where they do not turn back. So you start to see them losing their human traits. Perhaps they keep their animal eyes. Perhaps their ability to control themselves becomes a little bit more. So I've really found that portion of your comment rather poignant, the idea of losing that humanity, because that's really what it feels like. And I really liked this piece because it does kind of talk about those people who change. And I think we all change in relationships. The question is, do we grow together or do we grow apart? And there are plenty of people, really all of us, who come into a relationship with habits and perspectives and wounds and triggers that are not always, or even reactions, that are not always beneficial to the relationship, that are not always beneficial to the good that people need to grow together. And this really kind of highlights that. This highlights the way that you can enter into a relationship and build a life and ignore the beast in your bed, so to speak, until it's too late, until you're at that point where the reality that you thought you had comes out to be fake. And that could be that on the wedding day when everything's happy, you find out that your soon-to-be spouse is talking with another woman, not speaking from personal experience at all there. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It could be that you find out that your child, they aborted a child. It could be that they find out that your child is not biologically yours. There is that idea that the purpose of this was never about you, but perhaps you were that toy, perhaps you were that stability. And everything that kind of glitters is not always gold. And so they're left in that idea of watching the twinkling of glitter, realizing that it's all just been exactly that, little specks of plastic. It's something that's fake, that's man-made, that's created to make you feel good, but often leaves more of a mess than you anticipated. And so I really liked that. And even the performance, I felt, really captured that. The echoing of the recording felt chaotic. And it, to me, that really gets into this headspace where your thoughts are running so fast that they're overlapping each other and you can't quite get a grasp on what's actually happening until you're ages away and finally you get that clarity, and it's not always the clarity that you want. So I thought that this was a really fantastic poem that does speak to the way that we change, sometimes against our will, sometimes because it's the only way that we can survive, or even sometimes the way that we see that there is a hidden nature in those that we hold closest. And the chaos and destruction that comes with it really, I think, is quite a powerful rite. Anything you want to add, Pam, before we move on?
I think you made a really great observation there. But I can't think of anything further to add. So very well said there, Victoria.
Now, I do see that Jeremy has joined us on the board. I don't know how speaking of weddings, how the arranged wedding of your parents is going between you two, but maybe you can coax him on.
Well, you know, the thing is because Jeremy just can't afford a good size herd of caribou. My parents, as of right now, are nixing that idea.
Oh, that is a shame,
yeah,
but truly a valid consideration. I mean, if he can't afford caribou, what really can he afford? Cats? We don't need that many cats.
Exactly. It's caribou or nothing. But yeah, it would be great if Jeremy called in. That would be pretty awesome.
It would be. It would be a delight to have him here, get his thoughts on all of this. But while we wait and attempt to coax him on, we've got our next piece up, which is Dominion by EJ Cool. And we have another SoundCloud for that, so I will get that playing.
Dominion by EJ Cool. Frame firm your hand around my cheek. Hold me wholly within your palm. Tip my chin till wild children meet. Show me the storm behind the calm. Lay me out bare in blind tumult, center stage star of this sideshow. Lead me with your pheromone cult. Burn into me all that you know. My skin a canvas for your brush, begging to sing Greek tragedies, soft songs composed by speckled thrush, sunsets and blood moon rhapsodies. Allow me to be your masterpiece of rarefied obedience, silent submission bound in cerise, delightfully dark deviance. Fasten the lock and strap me in tight, coax my secrets from deep inside, till pure purience is blushing bright, and shameful vanity has died. Collect my crystalline requital with one merciful waking kiss, the oracle of my revival, Eresian aphrodisian bliss.
Stunning, stunning read and write by EJ Cool. And Pam, I know I asked you to start the last one off, but would you mind starting this one off with your thoughts as well?
Oh, I absolutely love this one. You know, it's so great to see EJ and her writing. I mean, wonderful rhyme and flow. You know, beautiful use of imagery. I really felt as far as the topic goes, this one was quite spot on. You know, so many wonderful lines, but let me see. Lay me out bare in blind tumult. Center stage star of this sideshow, lead me with your pheromone cult, burn into me all that you know. I really like that idea of wanting to fully know somebody, not only their touch, but their scent and the way they attract you. I like the mention of begging to sing Greek tragedies. You know, there's something, you know, I've never seen the phrase Greek tragedies used in a sensual rite. And I have to say that as I imagine the highs and lows of like, okay, I have to admit, I've never actually listened to a Greek tragedy, but I imagine there being almost like operatic, a lot of highs and lows. And I picture that sound coming from somebody who's completely aroused by their lover. And I like the subtlety of the dark sensuality, till pure prudence and blushing bright and shameful vanity has died. Wonderful thoughts throughout it, the idea of complete obedience, you know, complete submission, rather than a partial obedience, a partial submission. It feels like, I can't think of another word besides complete. Like, I feel like anytime I comment on these shows, I need to have thesaurus.com open so that I can find different words to say. But this is definitely a giving in fully to somebody. It's beautifully written and very well done.
And that's really beautifully said. But you're right. This really does read to me like the role of a sub. This is someone who wants to be dominated, who has the control in their life by relinquishing it. And the misconception of a submissive is that really, truly, they're the ones that have all the control. They may have all these things being done to them. They may be bending to the will of their dom, but if they say stop, it stops. So there really is quite a bit of control that's in this, and yet there's beauty, there's elegance, there's that submissive trust that's coming into this. Frame firm your hand around my neck, hold me wholly within your palm, tip my chin till wild children meet, show me the storm behind the calm. The rhyme and flow in this is so beautifully done that it feels natural. It shows a reverence. It shows a beauty and a willingness to give in. Lead me with your pheromone cult, that idea of being wrapped up in their scent, in the hormones and the pheromones of them, wholly desiring them and only them. My skin a canvas for your brush, begging to sing Greek tragedies, soft songs composed by speckled thrust, sunsets and blood moon rhapsodies. This whole piece gives me goosebumps because it is so beautiful and delicate and giving and trusting. And there is that beauty of the domination, the dominion of having someone control your pleasure, control your pain, and know that you're still safe. I've spoken about this on other Black Lace Diary shows, but I tend to be a person in a position of power. I'm actually, part of the reason I'm not coming back wholly just yet is I'm actually going to be starting next month giving regional presentations on tax-free wealth, because as some know, many may know, I am a licensed public accountant. So I have, anywhere from 80 to 200 people come to my presentations to learn about tax-free wealth, to learn about tax strategies to be advantageous to them. And so I tend to be in that position of authority. My clients trust me because I know what I'm doing, and I'm the authoritarian figure in that aspect of their life. And if they have any uncertainty, I'm that pillar of security. So for me, I'm actually a switch when it comes to this lifestyle. So there are moments where I do like to be in charge, but I actually tend to more often prefer to be that submissive. And it's because I'm so used to being in control that I often like to have it relinquished. And that in its own way is regaining the control of my individuality, of not having to be in that position of power. And this speaks in so many ways to that desire for me, to my heart. It speaks of the beauty of trusting my lover to care for me and handle me in the way that I desire it, knowing that they will not go beyond a border or a boundary that I'm not comfortable with. There's so much beauty in this, and yet it feels as if so much control is gone, while at the same time, there's still that ironclad certainty that you will not be pushed beyond what you can bear. So I thought this is really marvelous, and I agree, Pam. This is a masterpiece. It is definitely the most applicable in regards to a BDSM lifestyle, and that control or regaining and or relinquishing of control that we are looking at tonight. So just really a fantastic write. This is probably one of my favorites that I've gotten to read in a while. So thank you, EJ Cool, for sharing this with us and for that beautiful sound cloud. All right. I'm seeing that we have not coped Jeremy on yet, so we're going to play another SoundCloud. I know you're listening, Jeremy. I hear you. I see that you are listening. But it would be more fun if you came and hung out with us in the dungeon. I promise it's absolutely delightful. We have some new moss on the walls, a fresh stream pouring in from another corner. It's a little dark, maybe a little damp, but I promise you, you'll have a blast if you join us. I think he might be, and I don't blame him. We do have a lot of whips and chains, but, you know, I promise it's not as scary. You might enjoy it once you give it a chance. Just saying.
You know,
it's not a hot tub, but it's just a scent.
Right? I will be honest. When you mentioned that you were going to be giving presentations, I for a few seconds there, I thought you really were going to say that you were giving presentations on, like, you know, whips and ropes and hot wax. And I was thinking, oh,
nothing
sign
that
me fun. Up.
Sadly, nothing that fun, but I do keep it a bit exciting in my own way. It's a fun thing to do. I mean, I've been teased that I'm the most extroverted accountant. Oh, yes, I do carry whips, Jeremy. I've been teased that I'm the most extroverted accountant that some people have met because I enjoy people. But, you know, I also argue that that's really where the industry has been going with, you know, with the way that the world is and what's expected from your friendly neighborhood tax accountant. So, and I definitely carry some whips to keep the IRS and honorary clients in line in more ways than one, Jeremy. Wink, wink. So up next, we have by Weaver of Dreams, and we do have another SoundCloud for this, so I'll give that a play.
The liquid velvet sweetness of that smile, soft lips, moist curves, the tingle starts within me, and the heat burns. Your slight stubble, clearly cultivated to enhance that sharp, manly jaw, entrances and titillates. Am I to imagine the feel of it rasping against my soft skin, to then be cooled with feather-like strokes of your tongue? Then it begins, a slow sensual journey, lingering and languid, building slowly towards release. My body, once compliant, is now demanding all of you. You've awakened sensations long dormant, a flutter of anticipation, all new. My skin needs your fingertips. My lips want your mouth. My body is now only yours.
What a fantastic poem and read by Weaver of Dreams. I really love how she kind of starts off just slow and gentle, that tingling, perhaps with a kiss, the taste of your lover, feeling that heat kind of build, the desire, the need to build. It's almost a haptic feeling. Listening as she read, your slight stubble clearly cultivated to enhance that sharp manly jaw, entrances and stillates. Am I to imagine the feel of it rasping against my soft skin, to then be cooled with feather-like strokes of your tongue? That feel of the heat. And I think, you know, anyone who's kissed a man or done things with a man who has facial hair knows that there are stages of the beard that kind of scratch you. You know, beard rash on your chin is a thing. And it can kind of have that heat that's associated with it, the breathing, the warmth of the skin, the scraping of the skin with the stubble, only to then have those really gentle, quick licks of the tongue against your skin that let the cool air kind of sink into it. There's a building in this of need, of desire. You can feel the foreplay building into those moments when you reach that point of no return, when it is no longer a desire to be there, just being compliant and being open and willing. Now it is a demand, it is a need, and there is a fire that emerges. And that could be, she says, you know, you've awakened sensations long dormant, So it could be that it's a new lover. It could be that you've been on a journey of self-discovery or just been alone for a bit, finding that connection with someone that you thought that you wouldn't find again. The lips wanting the mouth, the skin needing the fingertips, the bodies wanting to be pressed close together until they're left in a disheveled heap. It's that building, it's that need, it's that want. And I appreciate how the poem really matches that. Just simply titled Skin, it shows you where it starts with an appreciation, perhaps a caress, and it ends in something so much closer, so much more heated and needy and fatigued, worn out than where we were at the beginning. I think this is really masterfully done. Just another really beautiful presentation of regaining that side of yourself, that sensuality, the sexuality, even if it is with a old lover reignited or a new lover, or perhaps even just a one-night stand. There is that beautiful regaining of sensuality and how there can be a loss of control while you also refind yourself. Just a stunning piece. And Pam, what did you think?
That was a great comment there. I really like how you brought up the thought of regaining control of your sensuality, your sexuality. And when you brought that second stanza with your slight stubble clearly cultivated to enhance that sharp manly jaw and trances and titillates. Okay, that was a good one, but yeah, what I meant to say is the third stanza with the idea of the contrast of feeling, the beard stubble and the way it scrapes against the soft skin, and then the cooling of the feather-like strokes of your tongue. And this is filled with a lot of passion and a lot of desire. I like how there is that buildup of intensity, a slow sensual journey, lingering and languid, which lingering and languid both are beautiful words, and using them together, it has such a nice alliteration sound. My body, once compliant, is now demanding all of you. I like how it reaches that point where you're no longer satisfied with the light touches. You want the thrust. I know she doesn't say that, but that's what I'm reading in there. You want your lover inside you. A wonderful last line, my body is now only yours. I like that, how it really fits well into the idea of the ultimate submission and allowing someone to have control over your body. So beautifully written and very well done.
That was such a stunning comment, Pam, and I agree. There is that need to be owned, that need to be at home. And I agree. I, too, felt that there was that need for that thrust, to have that connection, that unity, to have that penetration of something deeper than just a good kiss. There is that relinquishing of control and in it finding so much more. And I love that contrast, especially on this show, because so many times we think of regaining control as being, in that authoritarian seat, being in the captain's chair. And that's not always what it is. There is a beauty of knowing that you don't have to be wholly in control or else something will happen. My sister's divorce is going to be finalized, all fingers crossed, in the next 3 weeks. And there's been, there's some interesting conversations that are coming out of that, because there's a separating of the need for her to constantly be perfect to avoid abuse, and instead now able to kind of re-find who she is and find her own innate worth, even if that is not in a lover, or even, what does that look like if and when she finds that she's ready to try again? There is that beauty, and I feel like this poem really does represent that, the beauty that comes with regaining yourself, even if it's not in that leading role. So stunning, stunning comment there, Pam. Thank you. By Universal Star, and this is called Your Soul is a Flame, and I will give this a read. Have you ever desired a love with so much passion, your soul is a flame? I know I have, for she stood before me like a goddess, owning my entire being. I even told her no means of death nor torture and agony could touch me, because my love for her was true, true and through until the end of time. End poem. And Pam, what did you think of this?
I like the romantic feeling of this, the idea of fully committing to somebody because you recognize in them that they're a twin flame. I like that this touched on what seems to be not just a physical attraction, but an attraction of the soul. So just beautifully written and very well done.
Beautiful, right, Pam, or beautiful comment there, Pam. This really does speak to that connection, to that love that you have. And there's even a devotion in this. Have you ever desired a love with so much passion, your soul is a flame? Have you ever had that need to be so connected to one person that you burn for them? You look at them and they are all that you need. And there's nothing that can separate you. They are it. I agree. This really speaks to that level of desire, of devotion, of completeness that we seek in those romantic relationships. I love the subtlety of sensuality that's woven in here. There's that admiration and devotion that you can see with someone who you've found. And yet at the same time, there's that underlying that this is also reciprocated to some extent, because they too have made you feel as though you can provide this devotion and it's secure. It's not one way. So I thought that this is really a fantastic write. I feel like it offers that love, the passion, the sensuality. It offers the security of devoting yourself to someone and knowing that that is reciprocated and that you are able to have that that trust and that union, because it comes from both ends. It's not just one flame burning. It is both, and knowing that your spouse needs you there. So really a fantastic write. So thank you, Universal Star, for sharing that with us. And up next, we have another SoundCloud. This is Deja Voodoo by Philip Ireland. And I will get this posted and have that SoundCloud go.
Dead of our night, you could crawl out of bed, but don't turn on the light. So why don't you crawl out of bed? It's close to midnight. I'm playing with my dolls tonight. I've been here before. There's nothing that's new. I've been here before. You're just one of the few. Now it's all down to me, 'cause I'm so over you. Needles and pins. Thank you.
steps as you head for oblivion. Count in reverse as you glide across the floor. Ticking the clocks and Timurine. Whisper the curse as you beg me for more. I've been here before. There's nothing that's new. I've been here before. You're just one of the few. Now it's all down to me, 'cause I'm so over you. Needles and pins, deja. I've been here before. There's nothing that's new. I've been here before. You're just one of a few. Now it's all down to me, 'cause I'm so over you. Needles and pins, deja.
I'm totally okay if we want to listen to that song again, because that was amazing. I was definitely over here singing along to it poorly with my sad little raspy voice right now. But that was truly delightful. I'm so thankful. Pam actually was like, you know that there's a SoundCloud on that one right before the show. And I was like, oh, is that? I thought this just might be an audio to read with it. But no, it was a SoundCloud. And that was so masterfully done. I cannot help but wish that Faze was here, because she hosts a whole contest that's related around music and writing music. And I just feel like she would have loved this just about as much as I do. So stunning, stunning write. There's a beautiful, soft vibe to this. It's upbeat. And yet it's a reminder that there are those needles that are left in you, those pins. There's that calling from the beyond to step out of bed, to greet the night when the magic happens, a year of kind of remaining stuck while people continue on. And he uses the word, as you head for oblivion, counter reverse, as you glide across the floor, ticks of the clock, anti-meridian, whisper the curse as you beg me for more. So there's that sensuality that's going on. There's that magic of midnight, even in a afternoon delight. The needles and pins can be read almost as the tickling sensation left over, perhaps after a peak, an orgasmic peak. And yet it's also that idea of getting something stuck in you, that thought stuck in you, the want stuck in you. This feels, in a lot of ways, almost like a dawn, is talking about the ways that they will be remembered, how they will leave their mark, the reminder of I've been here before, and yet the magical mysticism of it, the voodoo. This was delightful, absolutely delightful. I see that in another contest, they won a honorable mention, and definitely is well-deserved, because this was just really, really well done, a fantastic performance. And Pam, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I've gotten a chance a couple times now or more, two or three times now, to hear David Ireland's SoundCloud or YouTube recordings of his songs. And he's definitely a gifted songwriter and singer, and does a wonderful performance on his recordings. I like the play on words with the phrase deja voodoo, like feeling like you're going through the same thing over and over again. feeling like you're making the same choices. I really like the mention of, because I'm so over you, needles and pins, you know, like the as you were mentioning, you know, the idea of the needles and pins, you know, that idea that they leave their mark in you, like no matter what, you're not able to forget them. Whispers the curse as you beg me for more. I've been here before. There's nothing that's new. I've been here before. This really, to me, spoke on the idea of addiction, you know, addiction maybe to drugs or maybe a sexual addiction, or even the idea of knowing somebody's bad for you, and still you keep giving them what they want, what they desire. Yeah, definitely an amazing singing voice and great performance. So, yeah, this is very moving.
Sorry, I don't mean to speak over your comment. I'm sitting here grinning like a fool because that was just so delightful. It's such a clean performance. It was so beautifully balanced, the composition as a whole. And I see in his author's note, he says, David Philip Ireland works in many aspects of the art, music, theater, and photography, and has published a number of solo and collaborative music projects, two novels, Slow Poison and Bloodstones, and two anthologies of poetry. I can see where that experience comes in here. It's a really beautiful, clean production, really great on beat. It has a little bit of that eerie tone. I'm sitting here thinking that I need this on my Spotify or something, because I want to stick it on my favorites and just listen to it over and over again, because that it really is a fantastic piece put together. So a beautiful comment, Pam, for a really, really fantastic song. So yeah, love it. All right. We are going to move on to Sighing a Poem by DJ GS117. And Pam, if you could give this a read, please.
I would be happy to. And this is Sighing by DJ GS117. And it goes like this. Her sigh, so striking, just inviting more excitement. Her exhaling, so entailing, just unveiling more of what is mine. And poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. I love the simplicity in this. So many times we can get caught up in the textures and the feels of an intimate moment. So this is simply sighing, her sigh, that little kind of moment when you get a kiss on the neck just right, or perhaps the feel of the first entry, if you will, even the contented, heavy, breathy sigh at the end when you collapse next to your lover. There's such a dynamic to it. And I feel like in so few words, DJ GS117 has really dug his, I get it. Oh my gosh. Pause. His profile picture is Doug from the 1990s cartoon, Doug.
Yeah.
And his name is Doug Smith. At least that's the name that he's got on there. I just realized that he's playing on that. So Doug Quail Boy, because that's what he's dressed as in his profile picture. In very few words, he's captured how dynamic, how simple a sigh is, as if that is the one thing that he was focusing on in this moment of intimacy. And I really, really appreciate that, because there's so much about that act that can be captured, that haptic moment of touch that can be captured, the sounds that can be captured. And in this one, he just saw or showed the dynamic nature of her sigh and just reveling in it and seeing the beauty of it and the expression of it as that moment progresses. I think that was just really stunning. Really, I love it. I love that it's simple and it's beautiful, and I wouldn't add anything to it. It's just really well done. And Pam, what did you think?
I have to agree with you. It's beautiful in its simplicity, a wonderful brevity. It's good to see someone new, and I hope we get to see more writing from him. I like the rhyme pattern in this. I thought it was catchy. It was delightful. It really kept, you know, it had a bounce to it. I like how he focuses in on that little detail of the sounds, the sighs, the exhaling, you know. I like the phrase just inviting more excitement. The idea that depending on the sounds your lover makes, you know you're going down the right path. And I felt there was a very layered idea to the ending, just unveiling more of what is mine. And to me, the idea of not only, you know, physically unveiling, but so completely trusting the person and being vulnerable with the person that you know that they're yours physically and emotionally. So beautifully written and very well done.
And beautifully said, Pam. Thank you for that. All right, we've only got two poems left for tonight. So if you have anything you'd like to bring to the show, I'm happy to do that. Otherwise, I'm also okay with maybe going off air a little early just because I'm getting over this bug. But up next, we have Drama Queen by Beatnik, and I will give this one a read. Drama Queen by Beatnik. I love the way your loving thrills me, but when you're a drama queen, you really chill me. I've been through it, and you don't impress because you think you're some kind of princess. A drama queen is no prize. I can see through all your lies. Just back off and take a reality check because we're throwing away something perfect. I don't want things to end this way, but I'm tired of it all, so today is the day. That I'll be walking away from this love I thought was here to stay. You've taken our love and thrown it out. We can get it back, but I still have my doubts. Is it the conflict you love, or is it me? If it's the former, then let me be. But if it's true that you need me, then stop these games and let love be. End poem. And Pam, what did you think of this piece?
Oh, I like this. It had, well, you know, he's a wonderful rhyming poet. I like the couplets written. There's almost a playfulness to this, and I don't know why, because, you know, none of us really like drama queens, but, you know, I think some people are attracted to those drama queen women, you know, those women who, you know, have that edge to them, have that, you know, idea of someone you want to control, but you can't completely control. You know, I like the bite in some of these lines, just back off and take a reality check because we're all throwing away something perfect. I don't want things to end this way, but I'm tired of it all, so today is the day. I like that idea of, you know, the idea of saying, I'm going to take control. And beautifully written and very well done.
That is really well said. And one of the things, I mean, there's a lot of times in our relationships when we need to take that control, we need to step up and walk away even sometimes. Sometimes that control is walking away from things that just aren't working. Truth be told, I kind of wondered if this was going to be a brat dynamic. So there is a submissive type that is called a brat, and they tend to be the ones that poke and prod and egg their dom on, and just kind of play with that. But oftentimes, and it's not that, but this I think really captures those moments where there's that fracturing of love. There's those moments when you've put up with a lot of stuff, and it seems like there's less good days and more bad. And the question is, you know, are you doing this because you think you're cute? Are you doing this because you think that that it creates spontaneity or passion or some sort of reaction? Do you need that reactionary relationship? I really think what's most telling is especially that second to last stanza or the second to last couplet is the conflict. Is it the conflict you love or is it me? If it's the former, then let me be. You know, I often, being an insomniac, I'll peruse Reddit late at night, and there's one that's called relationship advice, our relationship advice. And there's so many times where you hear people coming and saying, I don't know what to do. I really, really love this person, but you know, they take pride in being a princess. They take pride in creating this drama. There's that lack of desire to find connection. And we have, I mean, there's definitely personality types that want that. And there's relationships that have that thrive in that. But I think there's also a lot of people out there that do not seek to have that drama in their intimate moments. They need that balance. They want that balance. And there's nothing wrong with someone being a brat. As long as, again, it's in those rules, as long as there's that understanding and that dynamic and it's accepted and it's wanted. But when someone is really there to have a story to tell their friends or to have that fight, that reaction, and they don't seek the coming together, that's when you see that dysfunction, you see those relationships end. And so I think this is a really, I mean, it's an unpleasant piece to look at. If we're being fully honest, it's unpleasant because we don't like to think of love when it ends. We don't like to think of love when it fractures. And yet this takes a very pointed look at that. And it's that moment where it's not over, but it's getting there. And it's that swaying of, is this the right move? Is this what I need to do? Is this the right step to be taking? Am I giving up on something that could be fixed? Because again, we have that time value of, or really sunk cost that we approach relationships with. And so I think this is just a really hard piece to read, because when we think of love and we think of sensuality, we like to think of the fun stuff. And this isn't. This is that precipice of the end that many of us have sat at and had to determine if it's where we're ready to take our departure. And that's a hard place to write about. So I appreciate Beatnik writing to this, because it is its own form of regaining control, but it's probably one of the most unpleasant ones that we have in our lifetime. And yet Jeff approached it in such a way that that makes it easy to connect to, even if it's unpleasant. So really, really great writing.
I like that, Victoria, how you mentioned that, no, it is difficult to, that it is difficult to read about the end of a relationship. Now, I assume since, like, such a person exists, you know, the submissive that's called a brat who likes to poke and prod, there are also doms who actually like being in a relationship or a partnership with brats.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is when you get into the topic of like a submissive versus a dom, there's not a one size fits all. Even doms, there's different types. You could have an animalistic dom, you could have a soft dom, you can have a pleasure dom. There's a lot of different types of submissives and a lot of different types of doms. And then, of course, there's switches like me, who's not really always going to be a submissive, and I'm not always going to be a dom. And I won't lie, there's definitely times where my wonderful husband, he tries. Like the other day, he was like, go in the corner. And I was like, you don't tell me what to do. And so he teases me that I'm a brat. And I'm not a brat. I tease him that I'm a neglected sub. or a neglected switch. But yeah, he'll say things like, you got to go in the corner, go stand in the corner. Obviously the kids are in bed. He's like, go stand in the corner, Victoria. And I'm like, you don't tell me what to do. Like, what do you think is going to come of this? And that, I mean, it's definitely sometimes that I'm a brat and sometimes it's just that playfulness. But yeah, there's different types of subs. There's different types of DOMs. And it's not one dynamic fits all. There's plenty of soft DOMs that like brats just as much as there's pleasure DOMs that do. It's just a different dynamic. And again, it goes down to the rules and the bargaining that you've had and the dynamic that you seek. You know, the fun of a brat is that they definitely ask for punishment a lot more. And punishment isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can be an opportunity to connect in ways that you want to. But yeah, it read as a brat initially, but it wasn't a brat. But it was a really good rate still, regardless.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Our last poem on the board, unless you'd like to add something, Pam, is going to be Kiss My Bride. Oh, perfect. Perfect. Okay. So we will read this poem and then we'll move on to yours. And this is Kiss My Bride by Greg Gall. And if you could give that a read, I would appreciate it.
Okie dokie. No problem. All right. Kissed My Bride by Greg Gall. Alone, I angle to her open pine box set atop the stately dining table. There she lies as if she could now see naked starkly. She stares up at me, full chestnut hair freshly flown by a mystic breeze. For 2 hours, she has waited breathlessly, her lips pursed like an ingenuous seductivity. Does one's death render the final order? I then lean to kiss her lips. One sweet kiss from me will be her telling gift for all eternity. When breathy, coy, coaxing, she begs me in. Have I no faith that my kiss can set her us free? Her breasts are still supple and poised. My tears trickle toward her tiny waist. Her back is slightly bowed, just so. Both legs draped away like lingerie. Slipped my sobbing spike gently into her sealed sensual sarcophagus, our ghastly, lostly, earthly embrace. Later that day, they found us both naked there, kissed my bride deeply inside. Then the chaos ensued. End poem.
A fantastic read, Pam. I appreciate it. I have to admit, this one kind of leaves me conflicted. It reminds me, I was looking over, it looks like this has been entered into quite a few contests spanning the last, it looks like 4 months, with the first one being on death. And even the taglines in the bottom of it say, death, love, eternal suicide kiss. And it does remind me of almost Romeo and Juliet. You know, that it appears that she has passed away and he is committing suicide to be united with her. And there's, you know, we in media, there are so many opportunities or so many times where we see a lover or a couple who's been married for a very long time pass very closely together. And that does happen in nature where one person passes after a very long relationship and the other tends to follow fairly quickly all the time. But there is a phenomenon where two people who've been together for a long while tend to pass very closely together. And while this one is not appearing to be a natural passing, it reminds me of that Romeo and Juliet, that desire to be close together and the lack of will to continue on without. There is one goal in that. The one person that they were living for is now gone. It's a macabre topic for sure. And in many ways, there is a regaining of control in this because he's taken the ultimate form of control and chosen to take his life to be with his bride, which I can imagine is a very chaotic place to be, to lose your lover. I have a boyfriend who committed suicide when I was 18, and I distinctly remember what that was like, waking to find that he had taken his life. There's a lot of chaos and concern and the desire to know why. So I can understand to an extent losing your spouse and just kind of feeling like nothing else is there. But this is a very macabre topic. It's morbid in many ways. But I think in a lot of ways too, I think it speaks to the desire to be connected and united and one with your spouse. And perhaps this is one where, she passed unexpectedly. And so he did all that he knew to remain close and be with her and seal them together for all time. It's an interesting rite. I'm really curious, to some extent, what kind of prompted this, because it's not a topic that is often talked about, given that there's a bit of necrophilia in this, which is a very taboo topic. So it kind of makes me wonder what spurred this on, but it's an interesting rite, to say the least. And Pam, having read it, what did you think?
Well, first of all, Victoria, please make sure that when I die, that they don't put me in the coffin naked, okay? Make sure I'm dead.
I mean, I can't say any promises because your legs could be draped like lingerie.
Well, first of all, I don't really understand why she's in the coffin naked, but that's okay. You know, the thing is, and I really like what you had to say, and I had the same thought because I've heard this poem more than once, and the Romeo and Juliet thought came to me too, the idea of lovers who die, you know, and that representation of the ultimate sacrifice, and as you said, the ultimate control. I like Greg Gall, and I like his writing. This one has a really nice flow to it, but I would like to see more of his stuff in our Art of Seduction shows, you know, something different. I do like, as at the end of your topic, that you brought up the topic of necrophiliasm, because it is a taboo subject, because let's face it, while we try to be open-minded as much as possible, you know, like I don't know about other people, but my thing is if it's between two or more consenting adults, go for it. And I don't consider myself a prudish person, you know, but once we go with the idea of somebody isn't consenting, you know, even if they're not consenting because they're dead, it becomes a very, like, almost horrifying thought that you've gone beyond the realm of what is an acceptable kink. And, you know, I guess on the other idea, you know, and, you know, is, you know, I could see this being perhaps taking metaphorically, and the idea of killing off something that controlled your life, you know, perhaps killing off an addiction, you know, but as he so clearly has it tagged as, you know, death, sex, love, eternal suicide, kiss, it just really does bring conflicting thoughts. You know, but I definitely, I think the Romeo and Juliet comment that you made was quite spot on. And, you know, there's a finalization in the act of two people found dead together, and that it has a strong impact, and definitely thought provoking, to say that for sure. So excellent write and very well done.
I really liked what you said there too, the idea of kind of, I'm going to kind of paraphrase like you did earlier, but the idea that, you know, you're kind of putting to an end, maybe an addiction, maybe it could be a relationship, it could be an addiction. And what that made me think about is that often in wedding vows, it is till death do us part. And in this, death did not part them. And perhaps that's even part of it, is that the devotion and the commitment runs so deeply that even death is not sufficient to part them physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, however you want to look at it, that too exceeded beyond the grave. So I actually really appreciate you mentioning that, because it kind of got my wheels turning that it could even be that desire to not let your vows end just at death. It goes beyond. There's that commitment for eternity, even into that eternal afterlife. So really appreciate that. Thank you, Pam. And I'm going to make you read again and read your poem.
Okie dokie. I don't know how on topic this is, but I grabbed something quick. So, all right. This is an untitled poem, and it goes like this. Let us be to each other tethered cords, raining ash, devils that dance on the edge of volcanoes. Rage me a lullaby that I may awaken, painted in the blackest shades of nod. With every kiss, make me crave the parts of you that bleed raw upon wet leaves. Let your sighs be the beckoning of my darkest nature. Twist me unholy, impale me into crimes of passion. Let your touch be the damnation that I beg for. Feed me your stains and offer me not salvation. End poem.
Oh, Pam, I wish Jeremy was here, because I can just hear him in my head going, oh, Pam, 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 the way he always does that. The reverence and the shame, and just, yes, Jeremy, you got to call in just to give me the OPM. But this is, I think that this is actually really quite beautifully sensual in its own way. It's that idea of how someone can kind of take someone who's broken and see all their jaded edges and yet bring something beautiful out of them. There is that twisting and that turning, and it what this reminds me of, kind of digressing a little bit, is that when I grew up, my grandpa's a priest, my dad's dad is a priest, and my dad's a doctor, a medical doctor, and so I grew up, and I joke, I grew up in a household where both science and religion were used against me, not in a bad way, but to maintain my virtue. And now I have the Black Lace Diary, so it turned out great. But there's an idea that when you discover your sexuality and your sensuality, sometimes that's considered a tainting of yourself. And I think of like when my grandma passed away, we went into her house and we were helping my grandpa, my mom's mom, clean everything out, get things cleaned out. And there was a book in marriage that was given to my grandma when she married my grandpa. And it was like, you know, sex is not for the woman's pleasure. You are to lay there and he will get his pleasure and you should not have any expectations to enjoy it. And now, you know, as a granddaughter of someone who read that book going into their marriage, you know, I am all about the pleasure and the sensuality of both individuals, be that however they desire to speak that. I think that there's a beauty in that connection. And so what this reads to me is someone who's come out of a broken moment, someone who has been told or sold the Disney princess dream of a vanilla romance, the one and only, and never again. And then they find that person who ignites them, who lets them have that rage, who awakens their darkest fantasies, and who may twist them in ways that they were raised to be unholy, to be a crime of passion against sensuality should be. And yet that willingness to progress into damnation, to leave the salvation, because it finally feeds your soul. It frees you to experience the expression of sensuality, of individual sensuality and intimacy and fulfillment that we were always told is something that's shameful or we don't talk about or that's wrong. And it's not. There's a beauty and an individuality in it. And so to me, this does speak a lot of control, because it is breaking away from those vessels that tethered you to a shore that did not let you explore the depths and beauties of the ocean. It is allowing you to embark on a journey that many will hear about, you know, if they hear about it, but it's a journey that people may hear about and gasp in awe and horror, for you to have these beautiful fond memories of the waves that crashed over you, that seemed to overpower you, and yet that air as you broke the surface after you swam within those depths. I think this is really quite a beautiful, darkly sensual piece. So I think it's on topic, and I think it's great, and I love that you shared it with us.
Thank you very much.
Of course. All right. Well, we've
wonderful
only got.
Show.
Go ahead. What was that? Oh,
I was just saying, wonderful show.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great show. I'm gonna let us call it quits about 15 minutes early. So thank you to everyone who listened in. Thank you to all the poets who allowed us to share their work. For those that provided us a SoundCloud, thank you for that. Truly, we know that sometimes calling into a radio show is a little intimidating. It's inconvenient. There's a lot to it. And so we really appreciate those who are willing to share their voice as we get to hear their work in their words as they intended. And there really were some quite fantastic sharings that we had tonight. So thank you to all the poets who shared their work, their thoughts, their pens with us. Thank you, Pam, for hanging out with me tonight, keeping me company, as well as Frank, Poetic Creations, and Jeremy F., who's hung out on the board with us and kept us with a few giggles and conversation topics while we sat and waited. Truly, we would not have these shows without you guys. So until next time, I hope you all have a fantastic week, and good night.